Thank you, ladies. We get to celebrate that grace here today, the goodness of God and all He has done for us by taking Holy Communion today and partaking of the Lord's Supper. If you're visiting with us, this is what we call open communion. You don't have to be a member here, but you got to be saved by the blood of Christ to be part of His body. So you're welcome to, if you meet that qualification, to partake in Holy Communion. Been a lot of talk lately about the limitless power of God. A lot of talk last week in preaching about that limitless power of God. How it is, He is able to do, and all those words, exceedingly, abundantly, infinitely more than we could think, ask, or imagine. So today we're going to think about that. Today we're going to remember the limitless power of God. Today we're going to take in our minds and our hearts what Jesus has done. Easter's not been that long ago. We celebrated the death and the resurrection. We know the gospel story. But today we want to remember the good things that God has done for us. We want to thank Him for it and spend a little time around an altar or in your pew and pray and thank Him and partake of communion. You know, the wino, I hate to use that term, kind of, or a street drunk, people say, or a wino, if you give them an expensive bottle of wine, they'll just drink it just like the cheap stuff they drink every day. They don't see a difference. And I say that to say this. Sometimes people take communion just because they take it. But I pray we won't. I pray today, again, that we'll reflect, we'll think of the limitless power of God. We'll think of Jesus' death and what He went through and the beatings, the crown of thorns, and Him hanging on the cross. I hope we'll think that about where He calls us to be the body of Christ, and that we need each other, and we're all a part with spiritual gifts, and that we need to use those and to be partners together as a body of Christ, partners in the ministry, whatever that is, financially, and prayer, and all these different avenues of what makes Jones Chapel Church of God. Partners with each other and partners with God. So when we take communion today, it is a sacred act. It is a powerful act when we remember what it really is, and we take it reverently. We don't just brush it off, but we need to think about it and understand it. A New Testament Passover. The Last Supper was a Passover meal, and it celebrates the deliverance of the Jews from the Egyptians. The last of the 10 plagues was the killing of the firstborn sons in Egypt. You remember that story. And God told the Jews that if they would place the blood of a lamb on their doorpost, then when the angel of death came by, He had passed over their home, sparing them that judgment. Exodus 12:13 on the screen says, "The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." So that was a symbol that the death angel would pass over. The next slide is Romans 3:23. We know it well, but it's a reminder, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The next slide is Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our Savior, the Lamb of God, the New Testament Passover Lamb. Look with me at John 1 on the screen. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.'" Jesus paid the price. He is the only one. He paid the price. He paid the debt. And He gave us the acquittal that we needed. Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the one. How did He do it? You know how He did it. By dying for us on Calvary's cross, on the Calvary's tree, some say, and the shedding of His blood and His death there. So we know He's the Passover Lamb. Matthew 26 on the screen says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is My body." Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." So Jesus says, here's the bread, it's an offering, saying it's My body. If you'd look, please, at Isaiah 53:5, He says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed." The broken body of our Lord helps in our salvation. The forgiveness of sin, the wrongdoings, the spiritual healing that we need, but the peace that we need, He brings, the emotional healing, on and on, he offers that for us. Then the cup, He said, "This is My blood." So you know the Old Testament blood sacrifices, they were mentioned in Sunday school a little bit. About what a shame it was to for some to think they could offer a blind animal or one with a broken leg or whatever, and God said, "That's not the sacrifice I'm looking for, the first and the best," and that's what we're to give to God. So 1 Corinthians 11:27 on the screen says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." And it goes on, that scripture does, and says a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many among you are weak, sick, and a number have fallen asleep. So we approach communion, the Lord's Supper. It is a holy time. It is a holy communion. And we understand the seriousness of what we're doing. Not that people are sometimes too casual, if you will, toward the Lord's Supper. We've got to remember, we've got to think of what Jesus has done for us. And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives." So today, we're going to think back, we're going to remember, we're going to reflect on all God has done for us, all that Jesus Christ Himself has done for mankind, yes, around this world, yes, but for me. I want you to think today of all the goodness that God has given you, this thing called grace that these ladies were singing about, and how it came to you, His grace, His goodness, His forgiveness, and remember what He's done. So we need to remember. We need to think and remember how Jesus was spit upon, how He was insulted, how He was beaten. Not pleasant thoughts necessarily, but part of what He did for us. We need to think upon how He died and how He alone provided the healing that we need. How He provided forgiveness of our sin. It's found in no other one but Jesus Christ our Lord. So you've heard scripture here enough today and saw it on the screen. I believe, and you know what communion is before you came probably. We are the body of Christ at Jones Chapel. We are the body. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about the last few weeks of being in partnership with God and partnership with one another. We are brothers and sisters in a limitless campaign and kingdom work. We're to be partners and to be united in purpose. And I don't know of many things that unite the body any better than communion, that we come together and partake of the elements, and we think and reflect upon what Jesus has done for us. So that's what I want us to do today. Brings us to our theme scripture for our Limitless campaign. The last scripture today says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." So here we're gathered today. Here we're ready to take Holy Communion. We're talking about the limitless power of God. We're talking about a limitless campaign and all of God's power and his glory. And here we are to reflect on it today. Here we are to pray. Now all glory to God, who is able. I'm not going to preach last week's sermon again, but it's so important that we know who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, at work within us. And how much will I allow him to work within me? His power at work within us. What will I allow him to do? What will you allow him to do today in your life? His mighty power. Well, God's all powerful. He can do this, that, or the other. Amen? He can. But he gives us choices. He says, listen, here's the plan of salvation. And we either choose it or we ignore it. I pray that you have chosen, and by many of your testimonies, I know you have. If you haven't, the first step today is to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of sin. To say, you know, I really need to be saved. I want to be a part of the kingdom. I want to be a part of a body. I want to be saved. And how to do that? You ask Jesus to forgive you. And then you'd be ready to partake of communion. Through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. We've said many times the last few weeks, I can think a lot. I can ask for a lot. I can imagine a lot, but according to his will, that's what we want. He can do it all. Whatever's going on in your life today, he's available. You say, well, I have an emotional need. God is God. You have a financial need. He's still there. You have a spiritual need. He's still there. So today, I ask you to give your heart to the Lord if you haven't, and be saved, be born again. If you have, I rejoice with you, and I'd ask you today to reflect, to remember God's grace, his goodness, and all he has done for you through this point in time in your life, and it has been much. And I ask you to commit yourself to his will. I ask you to allow the Spirit of God to speak to your mind and your heart and your total being and say, Father, here is my weaknesses, or here is the place I need that limitless power of God. That power of God needs to work in me in this area because I'm weak here, or in this area I have this need. I'm inviting you, Holy Spirit of God, to come. I'm inviting you, this limitless power of God. It's either the truth or it's all a lie. I submit to you, it is absolute truth. And I'm inviting you to come and do a great work in me. Matter of fact, I'm allowing you to come. Your mighty power that works within us, I invite you to come, take control of my life. And I want your will to be done. And with you and your power, we together, as me and God in partnership, and us as a body partnered with God, can accomplish more than we might ask or we might think. God loves you. You're his if you're saved by the blood of Jesus. If you're not, I would pray you would be so today. So, now think in your mind and your heart for a moment about his goodness and his grace to you. Would you pray with me this morning? Our Father, how we thank you and we praise you for a time like this, the Lord's Supper. It is called communion. Holy Communion. And Lord, we're thankful that for what you have done. We're thankful that we can remember and reflect on the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work within our life and you are here to help us in all situations of life. We thank you for the body of Christ, the blood that was shed. And we ask you, Lord, to bless the bread and the juice as we partake of it today. And I just ask you to have your way with us, to not rush through, but to really reflect and remember your death and resurrection, your power, that you're inviting us just to a closer walk. You're inviting us to partner with you and to see the supernatural, to see the limitless power of God in different areas of our lives as individuals and families and as a body of Christ. So, Father, bless these elements, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.